First, I want to explain that the vetoes were for new services. They weren't for people already getting services. So people that are currently getting new opportunity waiver services and other waiver services will continue to get those. And it's also important for me to note is that we had additional cuts that we had to make within the department of over $20 million in state general funds. So it doesn't make sense for me to add additional services at the same time that I'm reducing services elsewhere. For those people that are waiting for services, those 10,000 people, first, it's important to note that a lot of people on that list are already getting some services. Over 9,000 are already Medicaid eligible. There are also 4,000 people on the list that are getting other waiver services or state general fund services. But it does mean that we don't have any additional money going into that new opportunity waiver fund to be able to provide those services.
And so what kinds of alternatives do families have?
There are, for our local human service districts and authorities handle our developmental disability services. So people that have needs that, as you said, are not being met, they have the ability to go to those districts and authorities and say, you know, my needs have changed, I'm really in a crisis situation, and they have some state general fund that they can utilize. Again, nothing I'm saying means that we have enough of those to offer, but clearly there are some options for individuals.
When we last spoke, when I was reporting on the stories about the developmentally disabled in Louisiana, you said that DHH was considering switching to a needs-based model for waivers. Can you tell me a little bit about what that means and how that would be different than the model used now?
Sure. Right now, we don't assess the people on the list. What our system transformation intends to do, and the family members were really, really clear on the two major things they'd like to see happen. One is that we do a better job of assessing the people on that list, which means giving them that support coordination before they actually come up on the list. The other thing that we need to do is combine the waivers so that it's not when you come up on the list you get a now waiver. It should be when you come up on the list you have a menu of services that can meet your needs flexibly. If we combine those, it gives us and the families the flexibility to only take what they need now, knowing that down the road, if things change, they would have the ability to get additional services.
Kind of like a la carte, like you've
been
saying.
Yes. You know, we want to keep the stakeholders involved in this. This process to really transform our system and change the way we allocate some of those resources is not going to be a quick process. It's going to require CMS approval. It's going to require, you know, time of our staff and time of stakeholders to be involved to make the changes.
In the Times-Picayune article about last week's meeting with Override the Veto, you were quoted as saying, in the future, we're still going to need more resources. Does that mean that the department needs more money?
Well, again, I mean, we've got 10,000 people that are in need, most likely, most of them in need of something. So clearly, at this point, I don't have enough money in the system to serve all those individuals. If we want a system that does serve every single individual that has those needs, then clearly we'll need additional resources. The department, the administration have been very clear that when we get, additional funding in the state, that is a priority area. At this particular time, we don't have the additional resources. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, if I have to cut somewhere else, it's not fair to add additional people and additional services.
Okay. Department of Health and Hospitals Secretary Kathy Kleber, thank you for speaking with me.
Thank you.